Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Bryce Diamond post-game versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks on a back-to-back at home, Raptors the same. Bucks were without Giannis, Middleton, and Mathusiasheff. Not that Serge Ibaka gets a lot of minutes. He's good vibes on the bench, whether he's playing or not. But he was on the injury report, so we'll report it. This game had all the kind of ingredients for sloppy, messy, difficult to watch type games. Had all the ingredients for it. And yet, it was a highly entertaining game. I wouldn't say the basketball was the best we've seen by either team. But from pure entertainment, there was lots of it. Even drama, even ejections in this one. Anytime the Raptors lock horns with the Bucks, you're always going to get a competitive game. These teams have played each other in the playoffs, 2017, 2019. There's guys from that 2017 and 2019 teams who still are on both sides of this game. Obviously, the Raptors had Siakam and Fred VanVleet. They didn't play a lot that year in 2017, but they were there. They remember the rivalry. Nick Nurse was obviously still around as well. For the Raptors coaching staff, not the head coach yet, but was on the bench. The Bucks, well, they had Giannis and Chris Middleton. And so there's just a lot of awareness of each other's history. And it makes it kind of fun, you know, after the weekend of watching the North London Derby, a huge rivalry between Arsenal and Tottenham. You know the history of the rivalry, because it's always talked about. It's always built up as something huge. And the NBA doesn't have that kind of same thing with how England does derbies or rivalries. But if you play a team in the playoffs a bunch, if you're in the same conference, in this case, you know, both teams are on the Great Lakes District, in the Great Lakes District, and kind of seen as locations that aren't as valuable or desirable as the coastal elite locations, or as maybe Texas because of, you know, tax, low income tax or zero income tax. So these two teams are kind of pinned against each other a number of times. And, you know, even last year when the Raps were not near the Bucks league or level, you know, the Raps were able to get the Bucks on multiple occasions last season, even went into Milwaukee on a back-to-back like last night and beat them. So we know you know, that there is an extra little gear that the Raptors want to shift themselves into when they play the Bucks. Obviously, the Bucks won the championship in 2021. Both of these franchises are seen in the last 5-6 years as really respectable franchises, some of the better franchises, certainly in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, they match up pretty well against each other. Now, when you don't have Giannis and Chris Middleton around, you'd think, even though this is a road game for the Raptors, you'd think that there's a little extra favor, a little extra that the Raptors can take here and have advantages on. And last night, you go into it with some excitement, some optimism, and then Milwaukee puts up 44 points in the first quarter. Now, this game had these huge swings. Both teams did not defend particularly well. But it was fascinating on so many levels to watch this game. Number one, the Bucks have a roster that is very much a veteran roster. You know, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Jrue Holiday, George Hill, Joe Ingles, they've been around the league for a while. I believe all of them in their 30s. Pat Connaughton, he's been around since 2018. Grayson Allen has been around the league and was, you know, with this Bucks team last year as well. Even Javon Carter, who comes off the bench, has had a number of years with this club. And so you have this veteran group, very consistent group. When you think of Lopez was there in 2019. This is, Bobby Portis's third or fourth season. Obviously Holiday was also part of the championship side. Connaughton. I think Nuara was on that championship team. George Hill was on the 2019 team, then left for a year, came back to this team. He's been around, right? So you got veterans, you've got guys who have been on this team for a while, even without Giannis and Middleton, who have played on this Bucks team since 2015, 2016 season. You've got other guys, you know, who have been in the league have been on this team for multiple years, have built kind of an identity together. And then you've got Coach Bud. And Coach Bud has been on this Bucks team since 2019. There were talks of him coming to the Raptors. He, you know, eventually Nick Nurse was hired for the position, but those two guys have been in the positions since that 2019 season. So this is their fifth season in head coaching spot. So that also builds a rivalry. Now, what was fascinating about this is the contrasts, right? So you've got this very solid nucleus of players on Milwaukee. You've got a team who's won a championship together that has stuck together. For the most part, and then inserted veterans like Javon Carter and Ingles. Even a guy like Serge Ibaka, right, and Wes Matthews, they've been around. And then on the other side, you have a group of young players in Van Vliet, Ananobi, and Pascal Siakam, who have been around for a while, but they weren't the main guys on that championship team, right? Siakam wasn't a vet. He was a key member of that team. He was a starter. There's no doubt about that. But he was still on the rise. He was still understanding the game. The guys who, you know, carried the mental load, who had the IQ, who were able to play both sides of the ball, communicate, lead, were Lowry and Ibaka, Gasol, Kawhi. Siakam didn't do that. Here he is in a situation this season, last season, where he's doing a lot of that leadership. Fred VanVleet in the same situation. OG, I wouldn't even say has come into that place in his career, but that's where he's at. Then you've got young guys, right? Their young guys are Nuara. Their bench players are more of their younger guys. Whereas Barnes and Gary Trent Jr., they're on this starting lineup. And so the Raptors are in a very different place, right? Obviously in the standings as well. Coming into this game, the Bucks were the 3 seed. The Raptors were tied for 10th with the Bulls. So very different team. Then you have the fact that this Milwaukee team is one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. In fact, they've got four guys shooting at least 40%. And then you could add Drew Holiday and Middleton in there who shoot, you know, 37% or higher. Where the Raptors struggle. You know, Malachi Flynn, I think, has been their best three-point shooter. Outside of that, the Raptors' three-point shooting has really not been consistent, and they have struggled quite a bit, right? So you look at this matchup and you say, okay, there's going to be some contrasts, right? Especially when you take out Giannis, who's by far their most athletic guy. You know, this is going to be, a team, a very cerebral team in Milwaukee versus a more athletic, young team in the Toronto Raptors. Just to go back to the three-point shooting, Malachi Flynn is 38.5%. That's their best three-point shooter. Gary Trent Jr., 36, Ananobi, 35, Otto Porter, who hasn't really played that much this season, 35, Fred and Pascal, under 34%. So this is a very good three-point shooting team versus a poor, unsatisfactory, if this was a report card in your elementary school days, unsatisfactory three-point shooting team. But then you also have another aspect of these two teams. And that's their coaching. And that's what has been under the microscope when there's been truly competitive matchups for the Raptors since the bubble. For Bud, I think it's always been there's always been some questions. There certainly was in that Celtics series last year, even though there was no Middleton and there's nothing Bud could do about that. That was out of his control. There were questions, right? And here's the thing. The way Bud coaches, his principles and philosophies as a coach are very risk adverse. For Nick Nurse, he's a high risk, high reward kind of guy. And he plays around with things. He tinkers with things where Bud builds confidence. Bud gets guys back to basics or at least their principles. And Nick has some principles and schemes with his coaching staff, but then he's highly adaptive. And these two philosophies, principles that were brought to this game through Nick and even personalities, they clashed last night. And when you mix that in with the fact that the Raptors probably have a little bit of excitement, a little bit of, kind of thirst, appetite is wet from looking across the gym and they see Giannis in his street clothes, you're thinking, okay, we got a real shot here. And Milwaukee puts up 44% because they just outsmarted the Raptors. And that great shooting team that this Milwaukee Bucks is, they just torched the Raptors. And it continued in the second half to a lesser degree for the Bucks, but then the Raptors were able to turn it up, make some adjustments, and did get some very good shooting through Gary Trent Jr. and Fred VanVleet, who had 22 points, Fred VanVleet, and 21 points through Gary Trent Jr. Two very good games from them through the first half. Now, in the second half, adjustments were made to some degree, but in other ways, it was just a matter of being patient, being a professional, seeing the game a little better, and again, leaning on your principles and philosophies. And when you're in a back-to-back and you're at home, you know your legs aren't going to be as strong. You know the fans are going to be on your side. And so what you need is to slow the game down, especially against a younger, faster, more athletic team. You need to slow the game down. You need to pick them apart with passing. And then you're left with your strengths playing against the weak sides or the weak points of their principles and schemes. And it was seen very obvious. It was very obvious to the naked eye watching this game how much smarter, how much more capable the Bucks are as individuals and as a team to just slow the game down, to minimize mistakes and identify the weaknesses, the soft parts in the other team. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating to watch this game and then to kind of rewatch this game and see how much smarter, how much more collected the Bucks were. But at the same time, part of that was that Coach Bud is more conservative. And so he's going to want you as a player on his team to think about the principles and think about your opponent really well. Don't worry about what you have to adjust. Think about what they're going to do, right? And then just adapt to that. It doesn't mean you have to shift anything. You don't have to change anything. Whereas for me, with Nick Nurse and the Raptors, when you're on a back-to-back, on the road, you've traveled as well. You're already tired. Your legs are tired from an overtime game the day before, where your starters played, 40-plus minutes going into overtime. But you're also exhausted mentally because of the travel aspect and being on the road. And then you've got the youthfulness, right? The game's not slowing down. You still think, as OG Anunoby, you still think to some degree as Pascal, but as Scotty Barnes, that you can just outwork them. And they had moments. They had moments of that, but it wasn't working. Now, the game got really interesting in the fourth quarter as the Raptors completely lost the lead in the third. And the game's tension, the competitive spirit, and the score got much tighter. Raps were down at one point by 10 in the third quarter to the Bucks, a huge swing in this game, a 17-point swing at one point in the game. And they were down 8 points going into the fourth. It had taken a big swing. The Raptors worked their tails off to get back into it. And then tensions kind of are rising, are boiling over. And Brook Lopez made some really childish, really unfortunate decisions. First of all, he tangles with Gary Trent Jr. for no reason. He initiated contact. How the refs didn't see the 10 seconds that set up, both teams coming into a scrum is beyond me. When you watch the replay, you're like, ref, how can you be so tuned into the basket that you can't see what's happening right in front of you? But when I forget my keys and they're right under my nose, I lose them and I'm running around the upstairs floor looking for them. And they're literally right beside my phone. These things happen with people. But it was crazy. Brook Lopez first initiates contact. Gary's kind of questioning what Brook was doing. Brook's temper then flares. He then, comes right at in an intimidating way to Gary Trent Jr. Remember, there's about, a foot difference between the two of them and a lot of size, physical strength on Brook Lopez's side. And then Gary's kind of talking to him and Brook Lopez throws Gary's headband off. Don't know what that was about. And Gary then looks at the official and says, hey, what's going on here? Are you not watching this? And finally the ref clues in. And by that point, the rest of the team, the players on the floor for both teams see this and are like, what's going on? A big tangle ensues. OG gets a tech. Jamal McGlure comes off the Raptors coaching bench. He gets a tech. Adrian Griffin's in the mix trying to tell Drew Holiday to stand down. And Brooke Lopez just starts pushing guys, puts his hand in guys' faces. Anyways, he gets ejected from the game, and rightly so. And what's unfortunate is that the ref could have easily defused this situation within 5 seconds if he had have paid attention to what was going on between Lopez and Gary Trent Jr., especially when Brooke Lopez takes Gary Trent Jr.'s headband off. But the ref, his eyes weren't there. For whatever reason, his eyes were fixated on the basket instead of underneath the basket. And this, you know, tangle, this scrum occurs. So both teams get two technicals. Lopez ejected the game. Now, at this point, it's 113-110 with about five and a half minutes left in the game. And as a Raptors fan, for me watching the game, I'm thinking, okay, we have our opportunity. We've been hanging around. We haven't played great basketball, but we've been hanging around. If we can just stay home defensively, guard one-on-one, because we're that good defensively with our individuals, we could take this game, overtake this game. And the first possession, we get a bucket. It's now 113-112. And you feel like the momentum has shifted. The control of this game that Milwaukee had going into the fourth quarter is now taken away from them from, you know, Brooke Lopez's foolishness, but also the Toronto Raptors kind of seeing that they have a real advantage here. And then you go down the other side of the court after Fred makes the layup with actually 6:24 to go. And the Raptors did something on multiple occasions in the next 6 minutes that infuriated me as a fan and leave me again with so many questions about their principles and their philosophies, their schemes defensively. And with all of the talk in the last 2 weeks in Raptors media world, on Raptors Twitter, in the greater US media of trade talks and the trade deadline coming up and what changes do you have to make, and guys being put in this situation, players being put in this situation of being traded, my big question is, I know that the timing is different, but why isn't Nick Nurse under more scrutiny now? If you're going to make a change, maybe the change, and I'm not saying that this should happen, but as much as there are guys who have contracts on this team, as much as there are guys who have flaws on this team, bench or starters for the Raptors, to me, when I look at this team and I look at the talent level, especially of the starters, but even the makeup of this squad, I don't see a team that's 20 and 25. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, as much as that would have been a great goal for this season to fight for. Probably not going to make it. Probably going to get bumped in the first round, really, because you're going to have to face a good veteran squad who are, you know, championship or bust, like the Nets, like the Sixers. Maybe not the Celtics or Bucks so much, because they have a type of group or a player, I guess, in Giannis with the Bucks, and players and Brown and Tatum, that you're probably going to ride those guys out. So there's no bust. There's no rebuild. You're just going to keep adding guys and hoping that it all works out, which for the most part it has been for those two teams. But those are the teams that are really in the mix for contention in the Eastern Conference. And maybe even for the NBA championship. And so you look at this game, 113-112, 6:24 to go. And on the other end of the floor, who do we leave wide open? Who's already hit multiple threes? Pat Connaughton. Pat Connaughton always has a big game against us, or at least it feels like he always has a big game because we leave him wide open. So he hits a three. Fred responds. He was feeling it. Good for him. And then we have a couple chances to score. We don't. We're down 116, 114. Jrue Holiday makes a tough shot. Jrue Holiday was the best player on the floor tonight for me. Fred VanVleet returns and says, all right, I'll make a bucket. 118, 116. And you feel like, okay, who's going to be the better player? Who's going to be smart, but also be able to make shots? And Fred and Jrue were kind of, it was a duel. Who's going to win this duel? And you felt like Fred had to bring somebody else in. Where Jrue Holiday didn't have anybody else. He had no Brook Lopez. He had no shot creators in Giannis and Middleton. So it was going to come down to him. Fred had Pascal. Fred has Scottie in certain moments. Fred has OG, who had a rough night. So then we come down the other end of the floor, 3:30 to go. Down two are the Raptors. And we leave another shooter, a guy who shoots 40% from the field, Grayson Allen, wide open. Wide open. And he buries a triple with 3:34 to give him up five. Then Fred heaves up a shot, buries it. My gosh. What a shot to make it 121-119. The offense was ridiculous. The defense questionable. Tired legs on both sides. And then Grayson Allen gets open again because we send another double team. Instead of just saying, we love and respect and believe in our defensive efforts as individuals as well as a team, we double again. And Grayson Allen gets open. He buries it, 123-119. Now, this was a moment in the next possession where we didn't know what we were doing. We were tired. Our minds were tired. Our bodies were tired. And this is where our youthfulness, right? Whereas Jrue Holiday can figure it out with his team, more of a veteran than Fred VanVleet, smarter, taller, was able to do all the aspects of the game very well. He makes shots. He makes plays. Fred then got a little too caught up in himself. And Fred throws up a shot he never should have thrown up. And the Raptors should have had a better offense as well. And they should have been able to adjust, but the youthfulness did not. And then we come back down the other way and we send more double teams and Jrue Holiday's open and he buries a triple to bury the Raptors with 2:16 to go, 126-119. OG misses a shot. We leave Connaughton open again. We're lucky he missed it. Fred VanVleet forces it and gets blocked by Joe Ingles. And again, Fred, too focused on his own game, too young, you would say even, as a point guard, not seeing the full floor, not trusting his guys like Jrue Holiday did, right? Not letting the game slow down. And he gets blocked. We leave Jrue Holiday open again. We get lucky that he missed. And then what happens? Joe Ingles blocks Fred's shot again with 106. And Fred forcing it. And that's youthfulness, right? We're down because of our principles and schemes are not allowing the fact that we're on a back-to-back going against a really smart team who's played us a bunch and knows what we're about and how we do things and just move the ball, play a team game, and hit wide open threes, which we're really good at. So we're already down. Now that youthfulness, now the mind is fatigued and Fred's making loads of mistakes after he had a really good game. You know, when he hit that shot to make it 121-119, that, you know, ridiculous three, you knew that we were behind. You knew that we were needing home run balls, or that was kind of looked like the process on the floor. And you felt like we're not playing as a team. We're not defending well. We're not being allowed to defend well as individuals. And this team's just going to outsmart us. They're going to outlast us, even without Giannis, Brook Lopez, and Chris Middleton. And that's what they did. They hit some free throws. We hit some free throws. And it was 130-122. But those contrasts of plays, those contrasts of styles, the contrast between youthfulness and veteran, athleticism versus skill, patience, really fascinating in this one. Just a game that was very winnable before the game, in the game, very winnable. And it really came down to which team was going to trust each other, which team was going to allow the game to slow down to make really good team play decisions, and which team, was going to try and do too much, which player was going to try and do too much. And it was obvious as the game played out, even though with 6:34 to go, it was a 2-point game and there were three starters for the Bucks out. Really fascinating. Pascal struggled again. Teams are letting him shoot the deep ball and he's not really there. He missed a wide open three in the final 7 minutes of the game. OG really struggled. We needed a good game from OG in this one. We didn't get it on either end. But entertaining for the neutral without a doubt. So when I step back from this game, at the end of the day, I believe in all five guys who are the stars for the Raptors. I don't want to move anybody. I don't think there's any reason to. I like Nick Nurse. I like this coaching staff. But I think there are a number of things with Nick that he has got to see are going against him. And when you have a short rotation and you're playing high risk, high reward, and you can't adjust to that game to game, especially on a back-to-back against the Bucks team missing the guys that they were, that's concerning for me. Again, if this is a playoff series, I don't think they do as much of that. But, even in that Philly series, they did some. You don't want to just win ugly when you have this much talent. You don't want to just win ugly when you, can defend really, really well. But again, that youthfulness is going to come back and bite you. What do they do? Well, you might just work really hard, add a couple pieces. You might not. But I think for me, this is another game, a winnable game, where you say, what were the main reasons why we lost? We can nitpick individual players, but what were the main kind of overarching themes of why we lost? And to me, that has nothing to do with the individual players. And that's something the Raptors have to think about. Talent-wise, how do you maximize your talent? That's a big question. That's a really big question. We have Black History Month coming up in February. Every year, Zai and I have done the podcast. We like to focus on a player, maybe a former player, an executive, a WNBA player, or a woman who's a coach in basketball. We like to focus on a few different figures, and we're going to do that again this coming year. Interestingly enough, we have been known as a podcast that is kind of sees LeBron James as a bit of a villain in the Raptors' history, and seen as a bit of a villain in the NBA, especially over the last 10 years. And we're going to actually focus an episode in Black History Month specifically on LeBron James to give him all the love and respect that he deserves, not just on the court, and actually less so on the court than off the court, because he's done a lot for the Black community in the States. And he believes in his platform that it can create great impact. And we want to share that story. So tune in for that. We'll let you know in the weeks to come who the other people will feature. We'll probably feature three total, LeBron and two others. We do have one woman within the NBA landscape in mind. Looking forward to digging into her story. Please tune in to those. Those are always really meaningful stories for us to tell. and we want to be able to share them, and would love to hear, you know, about players or people within basketball, both men and women, who you think, whose stories deserve to be told. If you have a Canadian story, we'd love to hear that as well. Last year, we were able to share the story. Actually, they were able to share their story. A friend, an old friend of Zaya's, named Ben, was able to share his story about being in the media world as a black man within the NBA landscape. And that was a pretty powerful story as well, and a very personal one that we got to hear from Ben himself. And so as we near Black History Month, we just want to keep highlighting these great humans who have done much for the game, but also have done much for their communities. So tune into that. In the meantime, we hope to have an episode coming up, Courtney and I, and then we'll try and get Zaya back on the pod. The Raptors, for them, they've got the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota, Gary Trent Jr.'s hometown, home state. So that should be fun. He had a great game last year in Minnesota with Pascal. So hopefully the Raps can bounce back after this loss to Milwaukee and get a win in Minnesota on Thursday. We'll catch up to you guys either Friday or Saturday. Hope you have a good Wednesday and rest of the week. Peace. I don't do dreaming or money or fashion. I do arts. So these are arts.